Crenshaw, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Former Vice President Mike Pence on CBS's Face the Nation reiterates why he refused to overturn the electoral vote count on January 6th.
Frankly, President Trump asked me to put him over the Constitution that day, but I chose the Constitution, and I always will.
Trump has been arraigned on several charges related to trying to overturn the election. The latest CBS News poll shows takes a look at Trump's actions in 2020.
Half the nation believes Donald Trump tried to stay in office beyond his term through illegal and unconstitutional means. Most Americans, and Democrats in particular, see the series of indictments against Donald Trump as defending democracy and upholding the rule of law.
Jennifer DePinto is CBS's Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys. The Justice Department has asked a federal judge overseeing the criminal case against former President Trump in Washington to step in after Trump posted what appeared to be a threat. Trump attorney John Lauro on CBS said the request went too far.
We would agree that any sensitive or highly sensitive information be kept under wraps. In fact, we made that proposition to the Biden administration. They rejected it. They want every single piece of evidence in this case hidden from the American public.
After his arraignment in the January 6th case, Donald Trump wrote on his social media platform, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." The U.S. women have been eliminated from the World Cup after losing to Sweden 5-4. Megan Rapinoe told Fox she could hardly believe it.
I mean, this is like a sick joke. For me personally, I'm just like, this is dark comedy. I missed a penalty.
Bracing for some more severe weather, here's meteorologist Jackie Jarrus at the Weather Channel.
We'll be focusing in on the Ohio Valley and the Tennessee River Valley. The rain may be very heavy and come in rounds, which means flash flooding is going to be a good possibility.
Striking hotel workers in Los Angeles and Orange counties are demanding more money, health care, and better working conditions. Hotel worker Jonathan Garrett says the hotels are doing great and could well afford it.
We've had the same wage for the last 5 years, you know, and it's time to give us a piece of the pie.
The workers have been on strike since July 2nd. Protesters took to the streets in Niger. It was a show of support for military leaders who ousted the sitting president. Today is the deadline imposed by West African nations for the reinstatement of the deposed president. Have you seen Barbie yet?
Did you bring your rollerblades?
I literally go nowhere without them.
So many people have seen the movie worldwide, it has topped $1 billion in ticket sales. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report finds almost three-quarters of young people believe gun violence is a problem in the United States. Joe Ullery reports.
Wyatt Russell with American University says this generation, raised in an era when mass shootings are common, says school safety is a major concern and is associated with negative mental health outcomes.
The average young person knows at least one other person who's been injured or killed by a gun. We've seen an astonishingly high 25% of youth have been in an active shooter lockdown, not a drill, a lockdown.
A study from the Kaiser Family Foundation also found that gun violence was the leading cause of death for kids in 2020 and 2021, the highest rate among large wealthy nations. Opponents of stricter gun laws cite concerns about personal freedom and self-defense. Russell notes the survey found that a young person's access to guns, identification with gun culture, and exposure to media relating to guns correlated with support for male supremacy, belief that the Second Amendment gives individuals the right to overthrow the government, higher levels of racial racial resentment and post-traumatic stress disorders.
We're working to develop some inoculation strategies to help young people stop harmful mis- and disinformation, conspiratorial thinking, and supremacist ideologies that can influence gun violence.
Researchers polled a nationally representative sample of more than 4,100 people, ages 14 to 30. I'm Joe Ulloray. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowen.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin.
On the day that we recorded Will's podcast, he had just learned 2 days before that his nephew had taken his own life. So his feelings were pretty raw, and he still wanted to go ahead with the podcast to share what this experience was like. So we've edited the original interview for content to make it more appropriate for radio. There were plenty of graphic details that do tell more of the story of what a survivor of gun violence goes through. So if you would like to listen to the entire conversation, you can do so by going to civicmedia.us under shows and look for Bird on a Wire and click on that link. I also want to invite you to come to some of our events. They will always be posted on Civic Media's social medias, so keep an eye out for that. I do want to mention why Will's story is so important. The trends right now are alarming. We're seeing things happen that are taking us backwards. There's been challenges to our schools where teachers are not being allowed to use pronouns to talk to their students without talking to the parents first. There's a lot of misinformation out there about what is even being taught in our schools. And, you know, we should be a bit alarmed about the fact that the current U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade. It's pretty scary to think that they might be coming out for after gay rights next. So these are all reasons that we need to tell these stories. We need to become aware of what's going on, and we need to stay involved. I've also heard of several areas where they're banning books in schools, books like To Kill a Mockingbird or Charlotte's Web. There also is a trend recently in our area where the school boards are setting policies that don't allow a teacher to simply put a little sticker on her door. It's a safe sticker. It's a symbol that if you're struggling with depression, mental health, sexuality issues, you can come and talk to this person. This person is trained and can help you. But now they're banning those because they want the entire schools to be viewed as safe. But we know they're not. We know that bullying is still happening, and we know that we are still working toward that desire. So in the meantime, what's wrong with safe stickers? They're also recently in Waukesha, they banned a teacher from having her class sing a song about a rainbow. And then when she simply took the time on her own time to inform the public that this had happened, she was fired for her actions. So we do need to be alarmed. And this does raise questions. Also, I do want to mention, recently a Pride event was canceled in Greenfield because of a fear of violence, not because there was any threat. So we need to be alarmed and be paying attention to these trends, because we do not want to see our rights continue to be eroded. Our values, we share the same values, and we all care about human rights. We care about personal freedoms. And if we do, then we better be paying attention to some of these trends. When I was running for the assembly last year, I knocked on over 4,000 doors. And in doing so, I heard a lot of things that we have in common. In fact, we have more things in common than we do different. And I heard over and over again the very things that might have saved both Will's nephew and mine, that people really want gun reforms that will save lives. None of us are for taking away Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms. This isn't about, these gun reforms are not about taking away Second Amendment rights. They are simply about keeping guns from out of the hands of people who might harm themselves or harm others. There are simple ways that we can make it safer in our communities. And people at the doors I talked to agreed with me on those things. They also would bring up mental health. Most of us know somebody who has struggled with some kind of a mental health condition, and totally support doing more to address these issues in our schools and in our communities and in our families. And the newer one that's coming up that people are less comfortable with is understanding transgender and how to resolve some of those issues about which bathrooms. And I would just reassure them that is going to be worked out at the local level, that we will find ways that make everybody feel comfortable and safe and doesn't discriminate against anyone who has a different sexual orientation. So we all need to learn how to do that better. And women's rights, voting rights, those are all things I heard at the doors that people want. So the good news is we can do something about it. I know that in my past, when my husband was paralyzed in a construction accident, and I got on the school board and made sure that all of the schools were wheelchair accessible. When we needed sewer in our neighborhood, I got on the Sanitary District Commission and worked with the commission and with the city to get sewer installed in our neighborhood. And when I was the lobbyist for the League of Women Voters for a couple of years, I was very successful in getting 9 out of 11 of the bills I lobbied for or against that went our way. So I have hope that we can change things. And you're listening because you care. So I encourage you to call your legislator. We can do something about these issues that Will has brought to the forefront of his life. He's 80 years old. He has suffered through many, many challenges in his life. And yet he's still in here telling his story so that we can make things better. Again, you can call your legislators on the gun reforms. There's some simple things we can do. And I hope that you will reach out as soon as you can to let your legislators know. And also get involved in your local school board races. Make sure that your school board members know that you want bullying to stop, that you want schools to be safe. So again, thank you for listening and caring. I hope you can attend one of our events. We have lots more to talk about. And it's through these conversations with people that we hope to give people hope, that we all learn to be a part of a more civil society. And I think those two things lead to the kind of actions that we want to see that'll make our society a better place. Hello, this is Luann Bird. In this episode, we will be talking about prejudice, depression, suicide, and the gift of being gay. If you or someone you know is struggling,
Help is available. Dial 988 for the 24/7 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Again, that's 988. And thank you for listening. Welcome to Bird on a Wire, live on tour. I'm Lou Ann Bird, your host for this podcast, along with Civic Media, who is hosting this on their websites and on their social media. So thank you to all the folks at Civic Media who are making this possible. The purpose of these podcasts are to inspire you, the audience, to hopefully have some new ideas, new ways that you could take action. It's hope, civility, and action that it spurs the kind of change that we want to see in our society. And it's why I personally am doing this. And when I got the call to run last year, that was why. I said, that's it. The political system is broken. We're not listening to each other. We're not talking to each other. So we need to bring civility back, and we need to have hope that we can change things. And that spurs action, because if there's hope, that means there's work to do. So today I'm very happy and thankful that I'm here with Will Radler in his beautiful rosarium garden. The way I met Will was I knocked on your door last year.
As she did with most.
As I did with a lot of people. And then I knocked on his door and I introduced myself and I told you why I was running. And within 30 minutes, not only did he say he would vote for me, but then we scheduled a beautiful event right here in your rosarium to have a Bird Songs concert, right?
That's right.
That's how we got started.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You were telling me what I wanted to hear.
What do you remember from that?
What do I remember from that? I was kind of blown out of the water that I had someone running for office that was telling me words that I had not heard before. The words civility in politics, I had not heard that before. I heard issues in themselves to me, it does not make sense, because it's the whole picture that makes sense. It's how we live with each other, how it makes sense, how we get along with each other, how we make life better for each other, how we love each other.
So that's how I look at life too, and I think that's why we've become such good friends. I really feel that my experience even is with creating change, that it's through building relationships with each other and listening to each other. And as I knocked on doors, that became more obvious to me that that's what people wanted. It's not about tearing down another person, but it's about giving people hope. So one thing that I learned about you, Will. So Will, I'm going to let you talk about yourself here in a minute, but I want to open this up with one thing that we now have in common. Will got news. Well, we want to talk tonight about what life is like as a gay man. And Will is LGBTQ+ proud and has known that for almost all of your life, right?
Right.
Since you were a little boy.
Right.
And so we were going to talk about that tonight to begin with, and more about his life and journey with that. Also, though, he got a phone call a phone call this weekend. And we wanted to talk about diversity. We wanted to talk about inclusion. We wanted to talk about mental health issues and depression. We wanted to talk about all of that tonight, because Will has a story about all of that, and even about suicide. And Will started or called me today, wasn't sure we could do this, because he got a call that his nephew had taken his life with a gun this past weekend. He was only 16 years old, and he lived in Germantown, and he's named after Will, right? So tonight we're going to dedicate this podcast to Willie and to all of those who might be struggling, right?
Right.
So thank you, Will, for being able to still do this. We both have experienced this kind of loss. Mine was in May. So we shared a lot today about what that's like to go through that.
You don't know how to react to. You can't turn around. You can't make it better. Here is a kid.
Tell us about.
He's 16 years old. He was dealing with juvenile diabetes. He was being bullied at school. He was having trouble dealing with his sexuality. I was being told what he was dealing with, and I care not to talk about that now because I don't know how much of it's fact, but I do know that he was going one way and then another, not knowing which way was him. And I know how that goes because I went through that. When you're trying to please other people, you put your own feelings aside in an effort to try to please everyone. In so doing it, you go into a state of deep depression, which I did. Thanks to modern medicine and therapists, I'm here today. A valued member of the community, and not everybody has been able to have the assets that I've been able to have. One of the reasons that I'm telling my stories, I think it's so important that those assets be made easily available to everybody in the community.
Name some of those assets. Like what? What do we need?
Mental health. Easy access to mental health. The games that we're playing on that we can't talk about things like LGBT issues when the suicide rate among those people is so high. It's not something that we wish. It's not something we choose. It's something who we are, and it isn't hurting anyone. And I think along with that gift of being able to choose that lot in life comes things, assets to the world that wouldn't be there. I think it's a genetic link. All of these artists, these creative people in the world, so many of them are gay. I think there's a link there to chastise those people. I think it's a sin. I was raised Catholic. It was so hard. I wanted to please my parents and be a good Catholic. And all the while, I knew that who I was, the church despised, and many other religions despised as well. And I couldn't make sense out of it because I knew I wasn't a bad person. And I knew that what my longings were for another man,
love,
wasn't going to hurt anything, anybody, anything.
Yeah. Relationship with another man.
And when I found this woman that I loved, and she loved me.
You married her, right? He married her to try to please everybody. Okay, and this is when you were really young, right?
I was in my late 20s.
Okay, he was young. And he, well, you loved her, though.
Yes.
And she was a great person, and you were a great person.
Yes.
And you married her. But on your wedding night, right?
My wedding night, I realized I made a mistake.
There was someone else in your life, right?
There was someone in my life that
you loved too.
And I was fighting that. I was trying to please other people instead of myself. And so I said to myself that you made your choice and I had. And I didn't know what medications could kill me. I thought about other ways I probably could do it because I didn't know how to get out of it. And then I finally said, this is ridiculous. I went back to
Donald.
Yeah. And I said, I made a mistake and I'd really like to get back to you. And he said, you made your choice. I'm sorry. And so I went back to Pam, and well, eventually Pam and I just divorced. Mm-hmm. And I got back to Don. And 20 years later, we made it work until the car hit us and he was killed.
So you didn't get to say goodbye. It was just like that. How did your family ever, did they ever come around to accepting Donald? And you, I know there's more to your story. What did your family do to try to?
10 years after getting back to Donald, when there were family get-togethers, he wasn't asked to join. And after 10 years, my birthday was coming up and it was a month away. And I called my folks and I said, I'm sorry, my birthday is coming up. And I know you always have me over for my birthday. But, and I said, if Donald's not invited, I won't be coming. And they said, how can you do this to us? And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this to you. You're doing this to me. The words that happened after that, I don't remember. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to hang up the phone. And a week or two later, I got a call back. And it was my mother. And she said, I'd like to have you and Donald come over for your birthday. Donald didn't want to. And we had a big fight. And I said, you have to. So he came. But I don't believe he came to any other family events. We're on vacation and he was killed in England. On the telephone, the first call, my mother could call me. She said, I feel like I've lost another son.
Yeah.
All those wasted years. And the reason why I want to tell this is because of there's no need for all this suffering.
Bird on a Wire podcast will be right back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former Vice President Mike Pence on CBS's Face the Nation repeats why he refused to overturn the electoral vote count on January 6th.
At the end of the day, the president continued to hold to that view, but I knew what my duty was. And as I said, by God's grace, we did our duty on that fateful day.
Trump has been arraigned on charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election. The United States played its best game of the Women's World Cup, but it wasn't good enough to stop Sweden. Still, U.S. co-captain Lindsey Horan on Fox said,
I'm very proud of my team.
The U.S. women were eliminated 5-4. Three people have died, four others injured after a mass shooting in the nation's capital. Acting Police Chief Pamela Smith.
We realize that there may be others who may have been injured. We're asking you to come forward. Speak to our detectives here at the Metropolitan Police Department.
Smith calls this attack a senseless act of violence. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An old Southside Milwaukee sausage factory could soon be apartments. Hintz Holdings has acquired the former Clements sausage properties on Milwaukee's south side, totaling almost 3 acres. At this point, there are no specific development plans, but the company is working with the city and intends to seek neighborhood input before deciding on potential concepts that could include apartments. The cutoff time for teens and kids to be at the state fair is an hour earlier than it was. State fair officials today made the change to try and stop unruly individuals from creating problems, like what's happened at fairs and festivals in the area already this summer. To get in, anyone under the age of 18 must be with a parent or guardian after 5 p.m. Tonight's main stage acts at the fair are Shaggy and Salt and Peppa. Tomorrow, puppeteer Jeff Dunham takes the stage. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hello, this is Lou Ann Bird. In this episode, we will be talking about prejudice, depression, suicide, and the gift of being gay. If you or someone you know is struggling, help is available. Dial 988 for the 24/7 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Again, that's 988. And thank you for listening. That's sad, but beautiful too, right?
Yeah. But it's so sad.
Yeah.
All those wasted years. And the reason why I want to tell this is because of there's no need for all this suffering.
Expand on that. What is it that we can do? There's no need for this, but it's there. Okay, so this is what you went through as a child and as a young adult growing up. And now, you know, you look at Willie and what happened to him. You know, right now we're seeing school districts forcing teachers to take safe classroom stickers off their doors. We're seeing a lot of pushback against transgender. We're seeing teachers being told they can't talk about this with their kids. How do you feel about all of that right now?
Willie could only find relief by taking drugs.
And that's what he turned to.
That's right.
You know the pain he was in, don't you? You've been there.
Yes. I don't know exactly the pain that he was in, but I have an idea. It shouldn't happen. It's not necessary. And in the school is there to educate
everyone.
It's supposed to be a safe place.
And it's not. We're not there. So there's more to your story. After you lost Donald, you did eventually meet someone else, right?
Yes.
Tell us about third relationship, I guess.
I had two relationships after Donald, and they didn't last. And through the process, and through my employees, actually, I thought I was fine. I was dealing with everything. And it was my employees that finally said, Will, you need help. I was abusive to my employees. When they did something wrong, I made mountains out of molehills. You're in a beautiful place right now, but some bad things happened here under my supervision because partially the way I was raised, I didn't know better, and I had some little bit of bipolar. My employees, two of them came up to me and said, Bill, we think you need help, and we're willing to do anything to help you. And they went with me. Some tests were performed, and I had a number of things that were making it a little difficult for me to deal with problems. So now I'm on medication, and it's much easier for me to deal with problems.
How old were you when that was going on?
In my 70s. So
it's never too late to get help.
It's never too late to get help.
Never too late.
And I've been having, even when Donald was alive, I was having therapy because I knew something was wrong. I had so many things going right in my life, and I wasn't happy. And at least I was smart enough to realize that. I had finally found a partner, and there was something wrong. I wasn't happy, and so I sought out a therapist, and that went on for a long time, and I thought that I was okay, and therapist said I should go on with therapy as long as I felt I needed. And finally I said, well, I think I've used up your time long enough. And she said, well, if you think that you need me again, remember I'm here. And if ever you think you need to commit yourself, here's how you do it. And if ever you think that you're in the pit of depression like you were at times, as you were going through therapy, don't be afraid to call me at any hour of the day or night. I committed myself. Luckily, I could afford. I had a wonderful health care package with Milwaukee County. As director of the Berner Botanical Gardens. Not everybody has that, but I feel everybody should. Look at here in Milwaukee County, the crime rate, people shooting themselves. They're not doing that because they're happy. They're not doing that because they're well-adjusted. They need help. We all need help when things go wrong like that. When we feel that we need a gun to protect ourselves because that's the only way. Mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wait a minute. What's the relationship between that? The thinking about, I need a gun to protect myself, and yet if you have mental health, it's the very thing you can use. Right?
Right.
So, what do we do about that? I say take the gun away, and then you can treat the mental health side. Because what you do when you take the gun away is at least you keep Willie and my nephew Derek alive. It just seems so simple to me. So if we can do that and make sure there's the mental health resources out there, I can't believe we're having this conversation again. I just had this in my first podcast.
Willie couldn't get an appointment. His appointment was weeks away.
Oh.
His folks were trying desperately. In the mental health system, I know how difficult it was for me. My tremor was so out of control. On top of all this, I was having difficulty getting food to my mouth. I didn't want to go out and eat with friends. That has an impact. There's so many things that are attributable to mental health. and the quality of life.
So for those of you who are listening and aren't here with us, thank you to those who came tonight. You are awesome. And thank you to those who are listening. We're sitting in this beautiful rosarium. It's a rose garden. Will, somewhere through this tragic and challenging and yet full of love life that you've had, you have built something here. So how did this rose thing ever come into play in your life?
I think with all my problems, I was able to find my happiness by delving into what brought me happiness. And that was reading, tinkering on my business card. I have Chief Tinkerer. That's where I found happiness. And that happiness brought me where I am here today. I never expected that finding my own happiness was going to bring so much happiness to other people. So many people say, oh, I love the roses that you have created, this garden that I've created because of the money that comes in from the roses that I create. They love the garden. I love having them come to my garden. I wouldn't love having this garden if there weren't people here to enjoy the garden.
So to put in a little plug, if you check out Will Radler's Rosarium website, you can find those times when it's open. But I don't doubt that if somebody really needs a uplift, they could stop by you anytime, right?
That's right.
You would take them around these gardens just like you do me from time to time because we've become friends.
That's right.
And it looks different at different times of years. It brings beauty all year long here. So that would be great. So when you talk about bringing happiness and joy to everybody, I mean, really, you created the knockout roses and now they're like a worldwide thing, right?
Right.
And every knockout rose can be brought, you know, comes back to you creating that. How did you create a knockout rose?
When I was in my teens, I planted my first rose bush at age 9.
9 years old.
Because I paged through my grandfather's Jackson Perkins rose catalog as a kid. I couldn't wait to have my first rose bush. It was 49 cents. I bought it in as a packaged rose in a cart in an A&P store. My parents said, you're wasting your allowance. I had 2 quarters in my pocket. They always complained I didn't save my money like my brother Tom did. I'll never make anything of myself. So the rose thrived, and my mother started bragging about her son who could grow roses. I started finding people like me. They were older, though, and they were starting to cut back on their hobby because they were senior citizens, and they were cutting back because it entailed too much work. And I told myself as a teenager, I was going to bring less work into the hobby of growing roses. And when I first had my first piece of property, that's what I started doing, is breeding roses with the goal of...
What year was that?
74.
Wow. And so you made it so that the roses, how do you make it easier? What do your roses do that make it easier? I know you don't have to trim them and they keep flowering. Is that one thing?
They're resistant to the common rose diseases that are prevalent. They by themselves keep a nice mounded shape. You don't have to trim them back to have repeat bloom. The stems are nice and strong by themselves. The blooms are long-lasting. Therefore, you have more color on the plant. It cycles faster than traditional roses at the time. A lot of this stuff, I was very lucky to produce because I was just trying to develop a few goals, and there was a power higher than me. And I think some of you may have heard that expression, and you know where that came from. Al-Anon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Wow. Somebody was looking out for me.
So you talked about assets. Everyone has assets. And being gay brings with it assets. And it's a gift, you called it.
Yes.
Right? And we all have a gift, whoever we are.
Yes,
gay or not.
True.
Trans or not. We all are here. We're a gift. So I want to... You should.
Willie had gifts.
Oh my gosh. And Derek had gifts. My nephew, he was a drummer. There's a creative. That's worth talking more about at some point. Yeah. So you told me a story today. This podcast is about what can we do? And by sharing your story, what would you like our audience? First, before we finalize that, what you told me the story today of what you did for mental health in the gay community. And so that was another way that you reached out to bring happiness. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was at, it was a celebration for a fundraising event. It was for the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. And they had gotten a sizable check to pay for mental health for AIDS patients that came to the center. And it would pay for so many hours of mental health. When I heard about it, my reaction was, oh my God, for the state of Wisconsin, this was so many hours. I was in shock. And after the celebration was over, I went up to the officers in charge of the AIDS Resource Center, and I said, did I hear correctly that this is the amount of hours that physicians are going to be available to help patients that come to the center? And they said, yes, and this is a breakthrough. And I said, that can't nearly be enough. And they said, yes, but it's the first step. I said, well, don't you need to make some kind of announcement that more is needed? And they said, well, we need somebody to make that step. And I said, how do you do that? And they said, well, could you be that person? And I was in shock, and because I didn't think I could be. I didn't think I had that money. I hadn't put that money in the garden yet. It was just the beginning of making the changes in the garden and the house. And I said, well, I can think about it. And we had a meeting, and they proposed a 3-year funding for a project. And it was $1 million. And they asked me if I could do that. I said, yes. I didn't really know if I could, but I knew something had.
So Will did it, and we are so grateful for you, Will.
And from that funding, they told me others have stepped up since. So
it's a powerful story. It's a good it's good for our listeners to hear that, Will. We were talking today about he has those kind of resources and I have time. And I can give back my time right now to help people.
Right.
And so whatever it is that you've got, if you're feeling down and hopeless, if you're feeling depressed, right?
Right.
You make that call because you matter, whoever you are that might be listening to this. You matter.
Right.
And we'll help you get through that, right? Someone will help.
Right.
There's crisis lines and there's that kind of thing out there. So I just want to thank you, Will. Should we take a few questions from the audience?
Sure.
Anyone have any questions or?
Yeah. Kathy? I have a comment. One of our problems with mental health right now and Willie not being able to see a therapist is that we don't have enough. There's a shortage
Correct.
Of therapists. And back in 1970, I had an ex-husband who went through social work school, who was paid. It was to become a therapist, social worker. It was paid for by the federal government. All that funding has been withdrawn. And if you want to become a therapist, it means you must go through an education, at least a master's degree, and go into debt. What we have to do on a policy level is do what we did during the Great Society, which is fund more social workers, more therapists.
I agree.
There are plenty of people who want to do this work because it's very noble work, but on a policy level, it's something that's worth pushing, at least as far as I think.
And it's popular. There's research that shows how popular it is. I applaud. It's not easy to talk about suicide. It certainly wasn't when my nephew took his life in May. The message, though, we should share, right, Will, is that it's not the family's fault.
They tried so hard, so desperate.
They did, didn't they? And they even did an intervention.
Yes.
With Willie to try to save his life.
Yes.
There's more that we have to do. We can do better. We can do better. We can build those relationships with our legislators. We can reach out to them. We can show up at we can call the town hall hotline. I mean, call into that show and talk about your story, because I'm finding as I share mine and Will shares his, a lot of people have been through this. It's not uncommon. We've all been touched by suicide or gun violence or bullying. You have a little thing here. This might be a good way to end this message. He's got a message here that you want to maybe share with our listeners.
Yeah, it's not okay to bully. It's not okay to show disrespect. It's not okay to have easy accessibility to drugs and guns. But it is more than okay to be gay and be a valued member of the community.
Well, thank you very much, Will. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you to our listeners.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Bird on a Wire on Civic Media and that you're inspired to take action on issues you care about. For more episodes, visit us at civicmedia.us. I'm Lou Ann Bird. Thanks for listening.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Former Vice President Mike Pence on CBS's Face the Nation discussing why he refused to do what Donald Trump asked him to do on January 6th.
President Trump was wrong. He was wrong then, he's wrong now. I had no right to overturn the election.
Trump's attorney in the January 6th case, John Laurel, tells CBS he will challenge Mike Pence.
The reason why Vice President Pence will be so important to the defense, he agrees that John Eastman, who gave legal advice to President Trump, was an esteemed legal scholar. Number two, he agrees that there were election irregularities, fraud, unlawful actions at the state level.
How do Republicans view the latest charges against Donald Trump?
Most Republicans, 7 in 10 of them, see the latest indictment as politically motivated. And they feel the series of indictments against Trump are also personal. And 86% of Republicans think these indictments are an attempt to stop Trump's 2024 presidential campaign.
Jennifer DePinto is CBS's Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys. Republican presidential candidate Will Hurd on CBS says he's done his own little survey.
Here's what I've learned crisscrossing this country. There are more people that are sick and tired of the direction the Democratic Party is going. And what they want is someone who's not a jerk, who's not a racist, who's not a misogynist, who's not someone who's a homophobe.
The four words you just used, do all of them apply to former President Trump?
At times, absolutely. And at times other places and other candidates that are in this race.
Former Trump Attorney General Bill Barr tells CBS the investigation of President Biden's son Hunter must continue.
Things can be shameful without being illegal. I think it's grotesque, the cashing in on the office like that, apparently. But it has to be investigated as to whether there was a crime there.
He's talking about Hunter Biden's business dealings and his tax charges. Soccer fans celebrated in Melbourne, Australia, as Sweden beat the United States 5-4 at the Women's World Cup. But this U.S. fan wasn't exactly celebrating.
Devastating, but stressful. And we tried so hard, we just couldn't finish.
It's the case of the traveling bear.
It's still not clear exactly why the bear was traveling from Baghdad to Dubai, but the animal undoubtedly caused a commotion by managing to get out of his cage while in the cargo hold of the Iraqi Airways flight. No damage or injuries were caused, but a specialist team had to be sent to the plane on its arrival to sedate and remove the bear safely.
That's the BBC's Sebastian Usher. Barbie, has become a global phenomenon.
Hey, Barbie, hey!
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
today.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till